Y'all would do well to dismiss him. But then you'd have to take in the widows and the orphans, and then you'd have to take care of all the grandkids. I'll take the baby. Hey, Mary, my wife is with me this morning. We've been in revival all week, and I'm thrilled. I showed her the speedometer. We was in Crab Orchard at Watts Chapel. We were supposed to go through Wednesday night. We wound up going through Sunday night, and she got to go with me every night. Pardon? We started on Sunday. But y'all, just hang on a minute. That's what happens when you've been married 53 years. Hope.
You don't ride no backseat.
Woman's mind's left her. How would you like to see me driving down the road and her sitting in the backseat? Miss Daisy hat on, or whatever you call it. Hey, I'm glad to be here this morning. I'm a little physically tired. We went from Sunday morning through Friday night, and I mean had a real meeting. The preacher, he said, Brother Sisson said, this young man wants to be baptized. Said, would it bother you for us to baptize him before the service? I said, no, have at it. Sure. When the big preacher comes, a little one can sit down. I love your preacher. When he called me, I'm glad this morning that I could come, but I love Jordan. I love being down here. I love to see everybody. I know y'all don't love seeing me, but I love seeing y'all anyway. Can you imagine what kind of time we'll have in heaven? Do y'all ever think like that? What kind of time will we have in heaven? Now, I want you to listen. Listen to me before I get into this. We're living, when Brother Porter sang that song a moment ago, I believe this. I believe this with all my heart. The next event upon the calendar prophetically is going to be the coming of our wonderful Lord. That's the rapture. Now, prior to that, everything is going to just pick up momentum. And look at it, is it not picking up momentum? I mean, it's death. Things that used to happen in California are happening here now. And I said that years ago. I said this, whatever's on the East Coast or West Coast will eventually just work its way here. I never dreamed in my lifetime, honestly, I never dreamed. There'd be shootings and stabbings, and it's everywhere. Every time you turn the television on or pick up the newspaper, it's a shooting. Look at Georgetown and Lexington. All right, as we sit here this morning, in 2 Timothy 3, says, know this, in the last days, perilous times shall come. That means dangerous times. They're here. All right, now I want you to listen to this. As you're sitting here this morning, we're finding that demented man over in North Korea. Brother Sisson, the Bible teaches there's going to come a third world war. If you read the book of Zechariah, it says their eyes are consumed away in their holes, chapter 12. All right, that's a neutron bomb. Ronald Reagan used it on Libya. But I want you to listen to this. Is that going to happen? When America turns its back on Israel, and you better hope that never happens. Look at every nation that turned against Israel, God turns against them. Look at Germany, that was your classic example. I could name you untold, but I'm just saying the rapture, we ought to be thrilled to death. We ought to expect Jesus to come any moment, amen. Got your Bibles, hold them up real high. That didn't cost you nothing. Hold them up there. Thank God. Amen. I want you to turn, if you would, in your Bible to Luke, please, chapter 23. Boy, this has been on my heart. Amen. Me and a young boy was with me all week long. Went over to every night. It'd take us about 45 minutes to get there. And every night, me and him would preach to each other all the way over and all the way back. He's young in the Lord, and he's just inquisitive and asking me questions. But I want to show you how the Lord opens doors. Now look in Luke, please, in chapter 23. Let's read verses 1. Now anytime you find, am I on, Brother Greg?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir. Anytime when you read your Bible, you ought to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now when you read the account, you ought to find out what the other writer says. Now, I want you to look in Luke 23, verse 1. And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. They began to accuse him, saying, we found this fellow. And notice how they acknowledged him. We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar. saying that he himself is Christ, a king. Pilate asked him, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" He answered and said, "Thou sayest it." Now look in verse 4. Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, "I find no fault in this man." Three times Pilate said, "I find no fault in this man." Verse 5. And they were the more fierce. Notice the word, "they were the more fierce." Have you ever seen a mob mentality? Have you ever seen when people, unsaved, unregenerate, you can put them together and they become fierce? Now I want you to look in your Bible. "They were the more fierce, saying he stirred up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place." When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod. Now, I want you to watch this. "Who himself was also at Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have been seen some miracle done by him." Now, that's Herod. Look at your next verse. "Then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing." He didn't say nothing to Herod. Verse 10, "The chief priests and the scribes stood, and they vehemently accused him. And Herod with his men of war set at naught and mocked him. They arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and they sent him to Pilate. And the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for they were at enmity between themselves." Now, all right, if you read Matthew's account, he don't tell you that. All right, if you read John's account, he don't tell you that, nor does Mark. Now, I want you to flip over right quick in your Bible and go to Matthew. Now, I want you to look, Matthew chapter 27. Now, let me hit all the high spots. Go to Matthew 27. I want you to watch this. Pilate, have you ever thought about this? Pilate is the governor. How did he become the governor? Y'all turn in your Bible and I'll get there in a minute. How did Pilate get to become the governor? How did he do that? All right, now watch this. Herod, if you look in your Bible, in Luke's gospel, it tells us there was enmity between Herod and Pilate. In other words, they were at war with each other. They were competing to get the Romans to approve of them. Pilate probably, now I can't prove this, but Pilate probably became governor by buying the office, about like our politicians. Lying bunch. Y'all to get a kick out of this. There's a man came, I was changing the oil in my car, servicing my car, and he walked up to me and he's just a grinning from ear to ear, and he says, "Hey, preacher, how you doing?" I said, "I'm doing great." He says, "You going to vote for me?" I said, "No." I still hold his hand like this. Now, his name is unimportant. He said, "Ain't you going to vote for me?" I said, "No." He said, "Why?" I said, "You ain't never kept your word a day I ever knew you. It's my garage." My point is, I wasn't trying to be arrogant. I wasn't trying to be rude. I knew the man. He was dishonest. And I ain't voting for no dishonest man. If I know it, I ain't voting for him. Now watch it. So Pilate and Herod, they were both competing to be probably a high official in the Roman government. Now look in Matthew. Hurry, look in your Bible. In Matthew let me read chapter 27. And let me read verses 17. All right, so you find Pilate was there. Then you find Herod was there. Now then we find that Pilate sits up on his throne like this. Here he is, and he's got all these people coming to him. They bring Jesus, and they're falsely accusing him. Now I want you to read, if you would, in verse 17. "Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will you that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they delivered him." Look in verse 19. "When he was set down on the judgment seat of Christ," what does it say? Say it back to me.
His wife sinned.
Who?
His wife.
The Pilate's wife. Now look at me for a moment. Look at me for a moment. Remember now, this official, he's trying to get up higher in the hierarchy. He wants to become even greater than being a governor. He's trying to please the Roman government. And the Jews hated the Romans. They disdained them. They despised them. Even though they were in the rule. Does everybody understand that? Here is a man that's trying to become in the upper echelon, trying to climb the ladder. Now guess what? Pilate sets up on his little old seat, and here is he's already sent Jesus to Herod. They've been made friends now, so Herod can't find no fault in him. Jesus don't answer him a word. Now all of a sudden we find he goes back to Pilate, right? He's sitting on his judgment seat like this, and they're saying, "Whom will you that I release unto you, Barabbas or Christ?" Barabbas was trying to throw an insurrection, trying to throw the over government, trying to overthrow it. All right, now watch this. He says, "Whom will you that I deliver unto you?" All of a sudden, here comes Pilate's wife. Now let me read it to you. Let's get on just for a moment. Pilate's wife in verse 19, "When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I've suffered many things this day in what? Dream." Say it back. Dream. "I've suffered many things in a dream because of him." Why did God so put in the Pilate's wife that she would have a dream, and she sent to Pilate and said, "Have nothing to do with this just man." Right? Here's what I want you to see. Look at all the tumult. Bible says in 2 Peter 3 and verse 9 that God is not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance, for God is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should be lost. All right, now listen to me. Does Jesus love sinners? Say something. Yes. Why did he die? For sinners, amen. All right, why, if he's not willing that any should perish, look in your Bible, Pilate, the best I can find, the best I can research, Pilate never answered that question, "Whom do you say Christ is?" Did Pilate go to hell? If Pilate, look what all the Lord did to keep him from going to hell. I want you to watch this. This is going to get a hold of you. So now then we find Pilate's wife comes, and notice in verses 20, the word "but" is a conjunction. He didn't pay her no mind. Now drop down. "What shall I do then?" In verse 22, "with Jesus, which is called the Christ." They said, "Let him be crucified." Now drop down to verse 24. "When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but rather a tumult was made, he took water and he washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person." How many of you, hey Porter, me and you about, we're probably the same age. I'm not taking your money. Calm down. Notice in your Bible it says he sent and got a bowl of water. Porter, have you ever heard this? "I've washed my hands of this mess." How many of y'all, would you raise your hand? Y'all ever heard that phrase? I've heard it all of my life. Where did it come from? Right there. Pilate said, "I have washed my hands of this mess." All right, they probably poured water over his hands, and then he probably took a towel, and I'd say that he dried his hands. And he says, "I find no fault in this just man." His wife had come to him and said, "I've suffered many things in a dream because of him. He'd done everything in the world he could to spare the Son of God. Everything. But when he washed his hands, he sealed his own doom." There's a whole lot of people wash their hands. Boy, aren't you glad God don't wash his hands with you? Amen. Man, I'm glad he's long-suffering, amen. Hey, there comes the call of God, then there comes the refusal, but then there comes the price you'll pay. Pilate paid and paid and paid and pays because of his refusal. Not that he didn't receive a call. Will y'all say amen? There'll not be nobody that goes to hell that God didn't give a chance to be saved. Let me say it to you again. Nobody. God, I believe with all of my heart. I believe this. I've ever drunk, ever hearted, ever rebel, ever renegade, ever good religious person. Jesus died to pay their sin debt. Amen. Right. And he'll do everything he can to keep you from going to hell. Amen. You can't blame. Well, preacher, there's Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterians, Catholics, Church of God. Amen, Sisson, say it. Brother Sisson, there's so many ways to be saved. No, there's not. There's one way to heaven. Amen. It takes the blood of his son, not baptism, not to being a member of Jordan Baptist Church. You may be a good moral person. Thank God for you. But good moral people will go to hell the same way wicked people go to hell. It'll be your unbelief that'll send you to hell. Why didn't Pilate get saved that morning? Why didn't he listen to his wife? How come her to have a dream? Somebody asked me, did I believe in dreams? I do believe that God can speak to your subconscious when he can't speak to your conscious. I asked my brother yesterday, me and him's always poking at each other. Have you ever heard this, Brother Rick? What, I had a nightmare. How many of y'all ever heard that? Why do you say that? I had a nightmare. Well, what do you mean by it? Huh? But why do you call it, night is darkness and mare is a female horse? But why do we say that? I had a nightmare. It's an Anglo-Saxon word. I tried to find the definition of it. It's probably demonic. When you go back to it, probably the witches in Massachusetts or New England states. But what I'm saying is we say words like I had a nightmare. Sometimes God can speak to your subconscious, amen, and guess what? I believe this thought, he'll impress upon your very being, hey, there is a hell, there is a heaven. The only way you're going to escape hell, you've got to receive Christ. Right. I do believe that. I believe car wrecks. I believe sometime when you wind up in the hospital, amen. I believe that sometimes at a coffin of a loved one. I believe that God uses all these things to keep you from going into the depths of eternity, a place called hell. He's not willing that any should perish. I wish I could nail that down. He's not willing that any should perish. Me and Samuel was talking about it. For God so loved the world. We can all quote it. Say it with me. John chapter 3, verse 16. Come on, let's say it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have There's 31,102 verses in the Bible, and that's the only verse you can spell with an acrostic, the word G-O-S-P-E-L. All you have to do is quote that verse, and you're condemned. Brother, sister, do you really believe that? For God so loved the world. He's not talking about this 25,000-mile little mudball planet we call Earth. He's not talking about that. He's talking about the world population, the people of the world. For God so loved the world that he gave. And by the way, I want to kick the radio out of the dash sometimes. When you hear this stupid thing, God only had one son, his only begotten son. He didn't have no dozen sons. Y'all have took Ritalin, ain't you? Valium or something? Everything God was trying to keep Pilate, he's trying to bring Pilate. There stood the Son of God right in front of him. He says, I find no fault in him. I find no fault in him. Do you want me to release unto you Barabbas or Jesus? And they said, crucify him. And he took a basin of water and he said, I am washing my hands of this mess. Some of you are going to walk out of this building this morning. And you're going to have to make up your mind. You're going to make a decision just like Pilate did. Right. If you reject Christ and you keep on rejecting Christ and you keep on rejecting Christ, it will not be your drinking or cursing or whoring around or whatever else you're involved in or gambling. It will be your unbelief that will send you to hell. That's right. Jesus already made a way that you could be saved. Man, I enjoy being saved, Rick. Whoopee! I told him about where I was at last week. I was telling him about this man years ago. I pastored in Ohio, and I love it. I love it. He was just a street urchin. Boy, he got saved. He wasn't very educated. Man, I got him in the baptismal pool, and the building was full of people. I said, you got anything you want to say? And he looked at me, and he said, hot dog, I'm glad I'm saved. He couldn't think of nothing else except hot dog. Every now and then, we ought to say, hot dog, I'm glad I'm saved. But what I'm saying is in the connotations, when you realize, how many of you did not get saved the first time that God dealt with you? That's the mercy of God being extended to you. Was this not the mercy of God? Was this not the mercy of God? God sending his Pilate's wife to him and says, have nothing to do with this just man. I suffered many things in a dream because of it. And notice in your Bible, she called him a just man. Salvation is more than joining a church. It's more than turning over a new leaf. It's more than getting your name on a church roll. It's more than being status quo. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory, amen. Man, why shouldn't I be happy? I love y'all. Y'all looking at me like a, I don't know what. You know what? People, they're looking for, over there where I was at this past weekend, boy, we every night the building was, I mean, just people came, and I appreciate it. But I'm a hometowner. I'm from Crab Orchard, Kentucky. I've been gone 55 years or something like that in my life. Here come all these people just to see me and hear me. And most invariably, every one of them was always bringing up, one woman said, you're the meanest little old boy I ever seen in my life. That's all that they ever remembered about me. They even brought the school annual, did I say it right? Pick me up, help me out there, girl. The school annual. Yeah. What was I in the second grade? Yeah. She said, oh, you're so cute. I mean, the second grade, I'm 72 years old. That's been a long time ago. But what I'm saying is, my past is underneath the blood. My name is wrote down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Very few governors know, I don't know any real, what I might call status quo people. But I'm saying, God knows me by name. That makes me somebody, amen. It don't lift me up with pride. In fact, it humbles me that Jesus would die and pay my sin debt. Amen. And I'll tell you something that blesses me, Miss Hope. This blesses me. 6.5 billion people upon this little planet called Earth. And if I'd have been the only one, Jesus would have died just for me. Why shouldn't I say, hallelujah, glory, thank God, amen. Why shouldn't I be a happy camper? I mean, when you realize, hey, he took all of my sin, took all of my hell, and boy, God's been so good to me. Would y'all say amen to that? But Pilate took a basin of water and washed his hands. I'm washing my hands of this thing. I want to show you these truths. Look at number one. He's what I call a crowd pleaser. He done everything he could to get the crowd pacified. Now look at me. Everybody look at these little beady eyes of mine. The crowds will send you to hell. You're trying your best to discern this. Well, Brother Sisson, I don't really understand. Did you know God didn't say understand? Nowhere in the Bible did it say understand. He says believe. Much different as daylight and dark is understand. There's a lot of things I don't understand. Do y'all understand gravity? All I know is John Newton said, if it goes up, it's got to come down. But explain gravity to me. It's what keeps us on the earth. Explain to me how the earth is turning on its axis. Explain to me how it's just tilted the right degree. Explain all that. I don't understand all of that. Listen to me. God didn't say understand. He says believe, amen. Crowd pleaser. He did everything he could. I find no fault in this man. What fault do you find in him? Best friend I ever had. Woo! Number two, look in your Bible. Not only was he a crowd pleaser, but he was consenting to the crowd. Could I tell you something? The crowds is not always right. How many of you guys go to Jordan Christian School? Ready? Hand over your heart. Son, I don't think that your heart's on the other side. Don't worry, a lot of adults don't know which side it's on. I pledge allegiance. Come on, help me. Everybody. I pledge allegiance to the flag. You better help me. And to the republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. It did not say democracy. It says to the republic for which it stands. I am for democracy, but the crowds ain't always right. If that be true, then abortion's legal, and it's all right. But not according to what thus saith the Lord. So we pledge allegiance to the flag, and what I'm saying is a republic is governed by a constitution. We have a constitution, but the liberals keep amending it. That's the reason why you ought to know who you vote for and what he stands for. But what I'm saying is, not only is Pilate a crowd pleaser, but he's consenting to the crowd. You know what? I feel sorry for people. God knows I do. What I mean by feeling sorry for, I feel sorry for Lutherans, Roman Catholics. I feel sorry for people that's hung up in this stuff that don't know any better. I feel sorry for a lot of Baptist folk. Let me tell you why. They're deceived as a bunch of Lutherans are. The devil don't care how he gets you to hell as long as he gets you there. Look at me for a moment. Jesus preached more on hell than he did on heaven. Consenting to the crowds. The crowds ain't always right. The crowds is the one that said crucify. Let me show you the third thing. And notice if you would please, I don't think that Pilate's got too much of a character about him. How do you know that, preacher? So he took Jesus and sent him over to Herod. Amen, sister. Send him over to Herod to say, hey, you take care of this. And then Herod sent him back to Pilate. And then Pilate has no character about him. If he'd had any character about him, he'd have released Jesus. He wouldn't have consented to the crowds. People today, they're just absolutely without character. Honesty and decency anymore just don't mean nothing to people. I know y'all are aware of this thing with Miss New. I'm talking about J.S. New's wife. I was there immediately after that happened at the church. And the reason why I'm telling you this, what kind of a demented man, she was the most kindest person you probably ever met in your life. Little tiny woman, didn't probably weigh 100 pounds. What could she do to hurt a man probably weigh 185 pounds? And him cut her throat, beat her. Did y'all see in the paper where she gave him a bag of potato chips? Did y'all see that? She gave him a bag. Did y'all know that Denham Street had put him in a motel room? Did y'all know that they had give him money to help him? They didn't know that J.S. New's wife, they didn't know that she was, Carolyn was over there in that room. But what I'm saying is we're living in a world that has no character, no decency, no honesty about it. Amen, brother and sister. It's getting terrible. That's the reason why you need to know the Lord. You need to be ready to born. Let me show you this right quick. Notice if he's consenting to the crowds. No care. And the core value, when I was a boy, I told him over there where I was at last week, people today don't have no value system. They don't live by a value system. It's get all they can all they get. Root hog or die. Climb the ladder of success. Get up there. No matter what they have to do, they don't have no core values about them. I'm talking about values. See, they're not instilled in people anymore. I'm talking about core values. When I was a young boy, my grandpa taught me, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, no, sir, thank you, pardon me, excuse me. My stepdad taught me, he was a military man. But my point is, I'm glad, thank God, they taught me a value system, like work ethics. Right. Oh, that killed the meeting. Mama taught me a lot of four-letter words like cook, wash, iron, slap, whip. And they was pretty much, if they said you're going to get a whooping, you got a whooping. Did y'all ever do this? I got to think about my mom this week. I used to do crazy things to my mama. I was the baby and I could use her. I learned to scream a lot. Make her feel sorry for me. Did y'all ever do, you didn't do that, did you? It don't work with you, does it? Your mama will get all over you. But I learned to do this. I learned to get as close to my mama as I could, and that way she couldn't hit me very hard. Hey, Kelly, I know y'all don't, I didn't know what all these words was. I'd heard it, and I wanted my mama to have amnesia. I didn't know what it was. All I knew is that they forgot. They never forgot nothing. No. You know what my mama was? She was a major in psychology. You know how I know that? She'd say, you wait till your daddy gets home. Now you got to wait about 2 hours. Because usually she beat me to death. And she said, you just wait till your daddy gets home. And then about 2 hours later, and about the time he gets home, you hear him turn in the, you hear the gravels. Then you hear him open the door. Then you hear this, Melvin! Now you got to go to the voice. I told you there's a major in psychology. They knew what they was doing. Hey, no core values. We're living in a world that has, hey, look here, when a person gets saved, Christ comes in, amen. And I believe this, there's a change in your life when Christ comes in your heart. Let me show you. Let's go. No core values. And guess what? Notice in your Bible, three times, what did Pilate say? Three times, what did he say?
Find no fault in this man.
Notice his conception of Jesus. I don't find no fault in him. But let me show you this now before we wind it down. I got to show you this. There's too much I can't get it all together. Look in your Bible in verses 26, please. In Matthew 27. Pilate, then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had what? Say it back to me. Do what? And when he had what? Scourged Jesus. Well, three times he's already said, I don't find no fault in him. And now then we find he went and got him a basin of water and washed his hands and said, I'm washing my hands of this. But why did he scourge him? Do y'all understand most people didn't live past the scourging? In that particular time, but why did he do that? I think he thought, if I scourge him, just maybe they'll have enough sympathy, they'll take Barabbas and not him. But notice his, what he thought of Jesus. He didn't think too highly of him. I don't think I'd bother any somebody that I didn't find no fault in him. But Pilate did. I want you to watch this. Boy, this gets all over my heart. In verse 26. Then when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Pilate knew what crucifixion was. He knew that was a horrible death for a Jew. The Romans, by the way, they stoned people to death. The Jews, they stoned people to death. That was their means of capital punishment. But the Romans, they crucified. And it was a horrible thing to die a crucifixion. And yet Jesus was crucified for the likes of me and you. Man, y'all ever done anything you're ashamed of? I ain't looking. I got my head turned. I've done so much I'm ashamed of. I look back at my past, and I guess everybody turned them rocks over last week, and I guess that made me think about it so much. Can you believe this? Look up here. I lived on the streets, slipping old cars. I don't want to get in all this. But, I mean, they turned the rock over. And I thought about how empty I was. I think about how there's a big void in my heart. I tried to fill it with liquor. I tried to fill that void with everything. And by the way, I've never smoked marijuana. I did take what's called uppers and downers a long time ago, 40, 50 years ago. But if I'd have got a hold of marijuana, I'd probably smoked it. I'm just being honest. I was lost. I was trying to find some kind of meaning to life. I was so volatile, I didn't know who to turn to or what to turn to. And this morning, I want you to get this. I've washed my hands. He washes his hands. They pour water over his hands. They dry his hands. And he did that in front of all of them. Yeah. I've washed my hands with this. Then why did he scourge him? Why did he let it? Why didn't he stop it? I believe his wife coming to him and tell him, I've suffered many things in a dream because of him. Some of y'all had a godly mama that prayed for you. Some of you had an old dad that prayed for you, a preacher. Billy Miller, I believe with all my heart, prays for you people. But they just do this. They just step right over the top of all of it. Or a mom or dad that loves God. I heard read one time, I'll never forget it, a man had two sons. One of them was wicked, just wicked as he could be. The one boy got killed. They had his funeral and they come home and the younger boy was going to go to town, had his hair all fixed, he was going to go to town. His dad begged him to stay with him, said, stay with me tonight, son. He said, I'm going to town. Said the old man went back there and laid down in front of the door and said that that ungodly boy stepped over top of his daddy and just went on to town. That's what we do. Amen, sister. Jesus died and paid our sin debt, and we just step over top of him. In spite of all the calls. Now, I want you to listen. There comes the call of God. There comes the refusal. Then there comes the price you'll pay. There comes this washing your hands. Let's stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Boy, notice, if you would, please. His conception, I find no fault. His core values, he had none. His character, had none. His consenting to the crowds. They crucified the Son of God. Unashamedly this morning, how many of you can say, Brother Sisson, there's an hour and day in my life that I know I've received the Lord Jesus as my personal Savior, and I know my name's written down in heaven. Slip your hand up real high. If you truly can just know that, you ought to get out of your seat and come and fall on your face and say, God, thank you. I've washed my hands, Pilate said, with this mess. I beg you this morning to come. I'm sure my wife will pray with you. Did you know Jesus loves you and cares about you? Would you let us this morning, and you say, Brother Sisson, boy, I need God to touch my life. Brother Sisson, I don't really have no purpose or no meaning in my life. Brother Sisson, there's this emptiness. There's this void in my life. Please pray for me. Would you? I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to embarrass you. Would you just slip your hand up real high? As a husband and wife, you know what you need to do tonight, this morning? You need to come and grace these altars and put God first in your life. What does he mean to you? What is your conception of Jesus? Is he your everything? I mean, do you love him with all your heart, body, mind, and soul? If you're going to stay together in a marriage, boy, you need to put Christ first in your life. You need to honor him. Please be saved this morning. Father, I can almost in my mind see Pilate as he got him a basin of water. Lord, as he washed his hands, signifying, I've washed my hands with this. Lord, I think about all you did to keep this man named Pilate, to bring him to the saving knowledge of Christ. He was standing right in front of him. Send his wife. God, please, this morning you've been good to these people. You've spared their lives. Speak to people's hearts, I pray. In Jesus' wonderful name, I pray.